Chucky. And I'm your friend to the end. Heidi fucking Ho.
And welcome back to Chucky Queers. It's our weekly coverage of Don Mancini's show, and I'm Joe.
And I'm Trace, and we are discussing the season finale, season 2, episode 8, Chucky Actually, a holiday episode.
Indeed. Happy holidays, everyone.
Oh, boy. Okay, so Joe, this season took the Game of Thrones route, where we have all the bombastic shit happening in the penultimate episode, kind of wrapping up the season's plots, and then the finale is a little quiet up until the last 20 minutes where everything goes tits up.
Yeah, this is a slightly supersized episode, so my runtime was around 51 minutes. It felt about like 4 or 5 minutes longer than the other episodes, but I just really appreciate it. You're going to laugh because you're going to see it coming. I really appreciated that we went back and spent a bit more time with just the kids to kind of reestablish where the show began and who our sort of central focus is.
Okay, so I'm happy that you're saying this. So, okay, looking at the season as a whole, are you more positive? Are you leaning more positive towards it than you were kind of in that middle stretch of episodes?
I think so. You know, I'm reflecting back on our conversations on season one, and there were definitely episodes where we felt like characters weren't being super fleshed out. We wanted to spend a little bit more time, and sometimes it felt like the show was barreling forward. So it feels like season two was doing more of the same. I think it was just that there were periods in the second season where I really just didn't know where things were going, and that wasn't always the case in season one. Season one felt like we were really building to something kind of clear and obvious, and you could see that through line. This one was just a little bit more mysterious. I do think, as you've been saying, this will play better on a rewatch when you kind of know what the flow is going to be like.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat. I really enjoyed this season. I don't even know if I want to say that I preferred it to season one, because despite being part of the same show, they both feel very like very different beasts, and so I like them both, I want to say, equally, just for different reasons.
I will say, I think season two comes off feeling more confident, and maybe that's just because it's more like a sequel where we don't have to spend so much time establishing characters. We can just kind of jump right into it. But even just the randomness of this episode, right? The campiness of it. It really felt like we were elevating everything that made the show different from all of the other shows we were seeing on TV. So season two felt like it was leaning into that in a more confident way.
Yeah, I would agree with that wholeheartedly. So let's go back to this episode as a finale, as a standalone episode. It's not standalone. I was kind of wrong. I mean,
just a touch.
Mixter was Chucky, but she hasn't been Chucky the whole time. I will say I appreciate that we don't get a 10-minute long flashback. It's just she really liked him when he was at the school, and that's it.
Yeah, and we get a gentle little retcon that talks about how she came to be Chucky, and it's a very fast moment. I actually really enjoyed it because it made that scene from last week's episode where Chucky gets shot a million times a little bit sad, because you're like, oh shit, Dr. Mixter was not a good person. You know, we actually see her laughing and goading Chucky into hurting these kids in these flashbacks. But still, she didn't realize that she was going to have a body swap situation and then get her face blown off and just like shot to smithereens. That's a rough go.
I don't think this was an intentional homage, but the only movie I could think of during that retcon was Halloween Resurrection, because
we
are swapping the place, with the killer is swapping the place with a bystander, and also the bystander is incapacitated in a way to where they cannot speak to say, wait, I'm not the person you're wanting to kill.
Oh my god. Yeah, if so, ugh. But I mean, in hindsight, I'm surprised that neither one of us commented on the fact that that shootout last week is actually very similar to the end of the original Child's Play, or rather not the ending, the sort of origin story for Charles Lee Ray when he gets shot in the toy store. And then, of course, we also get another Child's Play homage with the safe
number. I'm glad you caught that, because I saw that and I was like, November 9th, 1988. I bet you that's
when... Wait, what is that? Oh, the year... the origin of this entire franchise. That's when the first Child Play comes out.
Constantly doing references. But yeah, then, I mean, basically after that big reveal, it's a relatively quiet episode for about 30 minutes as everyone kind of resolves their problems before everything turns to shit again.
Yeah, which in a way is very evocative of either Hallmark Christmas movie, a Christmas movie in general. You know, I appreciated that one of the emotional climaxes of this episode is literally just everyone sitting down for Christmas dinner.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, I love a good dinner scene and... Ooh. This, I mean, look, unfortunately, as soon as Lexi and her mom made amends, I was like,
She's dead.
That mom's not going to be around for much longer.
No. And here's the thing. I didn't really even think that her apology was all that good. Like, not Lexi's. Lexi's was fine. But the mayor, I was like, no, you still strike me like a huge piece of shit. So I was very happy to see that she got maybe the second worst death on the show to date.
Oh, man. She got a wild vivisection death. Yeah, it was so funny because when we first meet her, you know, first meet her in this episode, she's very much like, I thought she was also on pills because she was acting all happy. But then, oops, rug pull. She's just on her Instagram live feed.
Also, I'm trying to think. Maybe this is representative of real life politicians, but I would have thought as a politician, you would not want to be live streaming random events from your personal life, especially when you have a child that you don't entirely trust.
I think maybe. Just because it's like a small town, like it's not, if it was a city mayor, like, I mean, I know, I guess this is a city, but it's like, you know, they're like in the suburbs. So I feel like it's,
I mean, she's talking about getting 30,000 likes.
Yeah, that's true.
Obviously, not all of those are constituents. You can get followers from anywhere around the globe. But it just struck me as like, ma'am, you will not have control over what happens live. So I am surprised you are doing this.
I mean, I guess it's Hackensack. So I guess Hackensack is technically a city. But yeah, nevertheless. Yeah, so we get that resolved. Jake and Devin, I was like, oh, God, are we going to like break them up? So I'm glad that that got resolved pretty much. Although I will say, as someone who has been a sexually active teen, they would have been trying to fuck on the floor of Lexi's bedroom.
I feel like the whole reason that Lexi was even in that room was so that we could just gently pull back from that. Because I thought the same thing. You know, as initially you think, oh, well, they're still fighting or they're not going to be ready to do something like that. But at that point, I was like, these kids are going to try to fuck, right?
Yeah, pretty much. But they don't have time because they have a coup planned.
I do love that we get that moment where they have clearly been waiting for an attack, which is also horrifying because we just had a conversation about we don't want to grow up to be like Andy or Kyle, and yet here we are hiding in the closet with knives.
And here's the thing, like one of my favorite things about this season has been that we get more time with these kids together. So watching them be able to come together.
Strategically
like
employ.
I was just like, oh, this is very, very, very sweet. And I'm glad that we have something like this. And I hope it continues into a potential next season because unfortunately the show has not been renewed yet.
Yes. Yeah. We're still recording these a couple of episodes in advance. But if I remember correctly, it got renewed on the eve of the penultimate episode in season one. So I'm hoping that Sci-Fi will have already made the right decision by the time you are hearing this.
Fingers crossed. But yeah, so we get this awesome, like, you know, I guess before we get into the climax, we talk about Tiffany and Glenn and Glinda.
Right.
This... I'm assuming that was Billy Boyd's voice returning as Glenn or Gigi now, right?
Yeah, I mean, folks, peek behind the curtain. Once again, we don't actually get end credits because they haven't always been complete. So I wasn't able to check whether or not it was in fact the same, but if it's not, it is a dead-on impression.
Yeah. Now, I'm a little concerned that this means that we won't be getting Lachlan Watson back next season, but, I mean, who knows?
I mean, never say never on this show, right?
The way possessions happen. I mean, because, oh, but actually, you know what I didn't get, though? So, if you recall, in our discussion with Don Mancini, I mentioned the Heart of Dumbala.
Right.
And he said it comes back this season.
Hmm.
To my knowledge, it has not come back this season, right?
I have to imagine that he was just conflating that with the chant that Jennifer Tilly does with the Voodoo for Dummies book or something like that.
Maybe. I mean, I appreciated the What a Crock callback we get in the epilogue, so.
Sure, sure. But to circle back, yes, I was actually deeply concerned when we saw the Glenda doll come back out. Like, it's an exciting moment when you understand what's going to happen. But then, yeah, it was this kind of crushing defeat when I realized we just had that really fascinating moment where Glenda kills the security guard, really acting on what their father had suggested was going to happen, right? That they are a killer. So I was looking forward to that story developing, and I don't know what happens when you put the twins into a single doll's body.
Well, okay, so this has been my kind of, I don't want to say concern, but my thing with Glenda Gigi overall. Mm-hmm. The conceit with this idea is that we praise Mancini for, you know, having this kind of like doll with gender identity issues, but the problem mm-hmm. is based on this, because we have to put them both in the doll,
right?
It is, if one of them dies, the other one does too, because they are yes. technically the same person.
Mm-hmm.
But if you throw a transgender and gender identity thing into the mix,
it doesn't really work super well.
Because, I mean, look, I know there's no ill intent, but the implication is that, okay, so like a transgender person, like they're having gender struggles, but hey, we just split them into two different people and we get one boy and one girl. Maybe it's like a non-binary thing. It's just a thing where I'm not bothered by this and I don't think it's offensive, but I'm kind of like, wait.
Yeah. No, I was the exact same way, because it gave me a moment of pause. And this is where, you know, you and I can try to parse it out, but I would actually love to hear from any non-binary listeners yeah. about how they feel about what happened specifically in this episode with the two of them going into a single doll. Because my immediate takeaway was, ooh, no, I don't want to suggest that non-binary people need to be like meshed together to make a whole, mm-hmm. which again, I don't know that that's the takeaway that was intended, but it was the first thing that immediately crossed my mind.
Yeah. So I will co-sign on that. Yeah. If we have any non-binary or trans listeners, I'm actually very intrigued to hear your read on this. That being said, we have Gigi. We'll just refer to them as Gigi moving sure. on forward.
Yep.
Is going to tour the world, which I'm going to say is a fail-safe in case yeah. we can't get Billy Boyd back to voice this doll next year, so that Gigi will just be out and about.
Yeah, it definitely feels like one of those, almost like an Andy and Kyle situation, right? Where we could hypothetically never see Gigi again and just mm-hmm. assume that they're out there living their best life, hopefully somewhere in Europe in, you know, fabulous makeup and dresses and slightly wonky hair. But yeah, it definitely feels like if we do get a third season, if we want to continue to explore this character, these characters, in whichever form they may appear, we've got the out. But yeah, my petition is that I would love to see this continue to be explored with Lachlan Watson, who I think has done a fantabulous job with the role this year. But also, I want more of them, and I would love to see them in their own respective bodies so that we could continue to see the growth between Glenn and Glenda.
Man, we better hope that Jennifer Tilly / Tiffany had like a triplet we don't know about in Seed of Chucky, because unfortunately Gigi's bodies are blue and dead.
yeah, definitely not looking super great the last time we see them.
But yeah, so that leads us into the climax, where we basically have Tiffany, who sees the mayor's Instagram feed.
Mm-hmm, which is the whole reason why we needed to be live streaming, so that we could advance that narrative plot.
Exactly, but also why it's important to note that Belle doll is super, super rare, as pointed out earlier in the season,
mm-hmm.
because Tiffany has to transfer her soul into just a Belle doll. It can't be anything else, apparently, for some reason.
Right. Unclear. Except the whole thing is revealed to be this red fucking herring, and it's Chucky the whole time. This didn't work for me. I loved everything else about this episode, and this just felt absolutely dumb.
Logically, it makes no sense, because right. the dolls don't have the same... Well, maybe they do have the same face.
Even like it felt like we were wearing a whole doll skin on top of a pre-existing doll. I was just like, oh, I mean, what are we doing?
We have done that in Curse of Chucky.
Have we?
Yeah, because remember, he's all stitched up and like the woman peels off the face to make, because he has a perfect face. Oh, and then right. she peels it off and he has the stitching on it underneath.
Okay, yeah. So we, you know what? This is part of the lore then. We have done this before.
But even before that, Jennifer Tilly Tiffany breaks mm-hmm. into the mayor's house, and the mayor is unconcerned with the fact that Jennifer Tilly is in her house.
proof that celebrity will get you anywhere. The mayor even recognizes, hey, aren't you wanted for murder? Also, why have you broken into my house in the middle of the night? And no, it's basically just, oh my God, will you take a picture with me?
Yes, because I need to help my career.
Oh my God. I mean, the mayor has always been an utterly ridiculous character. She's terrible mother, terrible wife, and, you know, it's been fun to hate this character. It's almost disappointing to see her just come back for this one episode so we can get this fantastic kill. Mm-hmm. I'm also not sad about it because it was great to be reminded, oh, you know what? You suck, and now you're dead.
And man, do we get... I mean, the show has pulled out all the stops and done some fantastic gore effects. I mean, some of the blood is CGI in this scene, but honestly, though, the practical work of the dummy getting split in half is awesome.
Oh, it's great. And again, the glimpse behind the curtain is that we get to see the puppeteers pulling the two halves of the mayor's body apart as the chainsaw goes through. Super, super fun.
Oh, I do love Chucky reading the shopping catalog. It's like Santa's hackin' sack, and it's just advertised as world's quietest chainsaw.
Which he then remarks on, oh, yes, it is incredibly quiet. Where have you been all my life?
So, okay, yeah, all this, I was like, okay, this is like, you know, I get it. We're moving on. Lex is an orphan now. But I was not expecting these kids to be on point and like, Jake stabs Tiffany, and then so does Devin. Meanwhile, Lexi is just chainsawing the fuck out of Chucky's face.
Yeah, especially when we had confirmation that this is supposedly the last Chucky that we are going to see. So it really does feel climactic in all the right ways. And it's, I mean, again, alarming to see that these preteens have had to adopt this murderous behavior. It was interesting. I wonder what you thought of this, because we did get a previously on sort of sum up before the episode began. Mm-hmm. And one of the big things that they talked about was, you know, we went back to season one where Chucky was talking about how difficult it was to get these kids to commit murder.
Yeah.
And I couldn't help but wonder if this was just to provide context for Glenda's actions at the hospital, or if it's going to circle back around because Lexi has now technically murdered someone.
Oh, see, I thought it was cluing us into Caroline's turn to evil.
Oh, yeah, you know what? Yeah, that works so well.
I mean, it could be all of the above. Now, I will say, though, this was one. This worked less for me than the Chucky Tiffany reveal doll thing did. Only because I was like, okay, so Chucky's kind of been brainwashing her, telling her she's adopted. Is she really adopted? I don't think that's the case.
I don't think so.
No. I am a little concerned with having an evil child next season because I just don't care about that.
I don't disagree, but considering Karina London Batrick's performance as Caroline, I've definitely found her an intriguing and compelling actor on this show. So I think she is up to the challenge of whatever Don Mancini might throw at her. Mm-hmm. Admittedly, yeah, this is a little bit of like Alexi's addiction storyline where I'm not super excited about it, but it does feel like, I don't know, there could be potential in it. I'm not sure that I loved any of the cliffhangers as much as I maybe did in season one, but season two has definitely proved to me that I need to shut the fuck up and just take whatever I'm going to get with this show because it's always amazing.
Well, it's also possible that literally we'll get Caroline and then in the premiere of season three, she'll just get killed.
It could be. Or, you know what? I'm also waiting for like an extended time jump. This episode takes place presumably a couple of months later because Lexi has already completed rehab when we open. So I wouldn't be surprised if in the future we jump ahead even a couple of years and say like, Caroline has been missing. And then we've got some like new actress who can handle some more mature content.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I mean, well, okay, so let's go into this then. So because the epilogue we have is that Tiffany's got Caroline and she's trying to transfer her soul into this Belle doll and it doesn't work until she, you know, what a crock.
Right.
We get the reveal. Yes, the Belle doll is actually Chucky. So rather than having her possess the doll, she recalls Charles Lee Ray back into this Chucky doll. But not before Nika calls Tiffany from Times Square because they're both in Times Square.
I love the erotic thriller vibes of this, by the way. It's very much like, I've been hunting you, and maybe also will fuck you.
So where are we? Oh, also, I love that the kids are not even under suspicion for murdering
them. No, I know. As soon as Lexi picked up the chainsaw, I definitely thought, oh, well, bitch, you just made a classic horror movie mistake, and now the police are going to suspect that you killed your fucking mom.
Yeah. But luckily, that's not the case.
No, which is very surprising. We also got the return of the science teacher. So presumably that will address any of the orphan foster care questions.
I was really confused. I mean, look, again, I'm not even bitching about the logic in this show. But no. Is it normal for three orphans from different parents just to be given to their science teacher, their high school science teacher?
What are you talking about? It happens every day.
But yeah, so I mean, Tiffany's fate is left undecided. And again, I have to feel like this is a failsafe in case Jennifer Tilly opts not to come back next season.
Which, can you imagine? It's like bestie friendship over. Don Mancini's like, all right, I've written you a juicy part. And she says, ooh, actually, I've been getting other offers. I'm going to go do something else. Not going to come back.
I also love that cop being like, Jennifer Tilly, I always thought she was overrated.
Just the constant digs at her career on this show. Just, I love a gentle ribbing.
That's kind of a thing for me. Okay, so let's, what do we think is going to happen next season? My only big worry is that, yeah, mm-hmm. I really enjoyed the Jennifer Tilly screen time this season. I feel like she got more to do this season than she did last season. And I had a lot of fun with that. And I'm going to be really bummed if we don't have her back in the same type of capacity as next season. I was actually looking forward to having her as a doll voice again.
I was too, but it's a similar situation to Lachlan Watson where I don't want to lose Jennifer Tilly's physical performance.
I know. Me neither.
Right? I want it all. I want all of these actors and I want all of these dolls. Every time they say, ooh, this is the last one, I'm like, no, stop it. Stop eliminating narrative pieces that could be interesting. Like, don't close that door. Keep dolls in play. Keep actors in play.
But if we've learned anything from this show, it's that literally anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, the number of times that I wrote, oh my God, in my notes because I was like, where is this going?
Oh my God, and what the fuck? Yes, the show in a pinch. Okay, so where do we think this is going? I am going to make a pitch. Since Don Mancini talked so fervently about how much he enjoyed working on Hannibal, I'm thinking Hannibal season 3 went to Europe, and that's where Gigi has gone. So wouldn't it be fun if we took a page from Hannibal season 3 and send these characters on a European vacation, and then we can have foreign chaos?
Oh, and see, I didn't even think about that because I was thinking, oh, we're just going to be filming in New York City, but it's going to be Vancouver as New York City.
Hello, this show is filmed out of Toronto. So.
Oh, Toronto as New York City. I'm sorry, what is Vancouver? What is Vancouver? Oh, that's LA. Vancouver is LA, right?
I mean, Vancouver can literally do anything, but yeah, this show specifically has been filming around Toronto.
Well,
so.
Then apparently, you know, we're getting a return to horror films set in the city. So I actually wouldn't mind, but I like your idea better. Let's do some European gothic horror next season.
I mean, yeah, I could see this show setting up shop in like a New York and doing, you know, a big city. I think the big issue is that the kids are still too young to be off on their own. So unless we're doing some kind of school trip or vacation or something like that, it becomes more difficult to keep these characters in the same place at their age.
Well, I agree. But again, they're apparently going to be have their science teacher as their guardian now.
Right.
So she can do whatever she wants with them, apparently.
This is true. Yeah. I mean, the show has never cared about narrative logic. So if it starts to think, oh, well, we need to have rational explanations to ground these plots, it's like, no, you're probably not doing Chucky anymore.
Yeah, probably so. Or maybe it'll be spring break and they win a trip to like Castle whatever in Bulgaria.
Yeah, what's the capital of Bulgaria? It's Brasilia, right?
I'm just saying, because Seed of Chucky was, oh wait, that was Romania. Romania. Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll go to Romania. I'm
oh
like,
my God, how funny would it be if we then just do commentary on Romania?
Because that's where Seed of Chucky was filmed, standing in for LA.
I love it. I would love it. Oh my God.
I hope that we're kind of out of the Devin and Jake, fighting or whatever. Like, I hope we're kind of like on even ground then, but I just don't want a rift to come between these kids again. I want them to all be working together and on the same page.
Yeah, it's funny. You sound a little bit like Brenna on my YA podcast, where it's like, I just want everyone to get along.
And they can't. But I agree. I know they can't. We have to have conflict. But I'm just like, no, let's have the conflict be other places.
Agreed. Yeah, it's like, you know what? I think this season showed or maybe just confirmed how good Chucky is at introducing new characters and making us care about them in a similar vein that like Scream films have done, right? So yeah. I would love it if, yeah, we sort of distilled the conflict out to maybe some new characters or new situations and just let this trio function as a unit as we saw them do in this finale, right? Because it was really enjoyable watching them put up a united front.
Yeah, I would agree on that. But nevertheless, I would call this season a win for me again.
Yeah.
I have enjoyed both seasons of Chucky, and I really am looking forward to what is hopefully going to be a third season of this show because, yeah, I mean, I feel like now it really does feel like almost a reset of sorts, whereas last year I felt like, okay, I think I kind of know where this is going a bit, but I don't know where this is really going to go plot-wise next year.
Mm-hmm. If anything, what they've done is actually given themselves more leeway about where to go with this. Last year, they almost painted themselves into a bit of a corner with the cliffhanger. This year, it's kind of like, well, we could get out of this very easily and then do a hard reset and do whatever else we wanted to do.
Which I imagine was very intentional on Mancini's part. It's like, oh, I have to end this to where it's like a bunch of cliffhangers to where I could or could not use any of these things that I'm setting up.
Agreed. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, okay, everyone. Let us know what you thought of Chucky, actually. And I guess, yeah, season two of Chucky as a whole and where you think season three is going to go as well. But until next year, everyone, we can cross out Chucky, actually.
Indeed. And cross out season two of Chucky Queers.
Murder in America is a true crime podcast that covers stories from all 50 states, including stories of mass shootings, serial killers, and lesser-known murders. Do you find yourself doing more research after listening to a true crime show? Well, Courtney and I used to do the same thing, and that's why we created Murder in America. Our podcast dives deep into each case. Our storytelling will make you feel like you're right there within the case with us, watching it all play out, and we do not shy away from the graphic details. If you're a fan of true crime, then listen to Murder in America on Spotify now.
Every town has its dark history. Hometown Ghost Stories is a paranormal podcast that goes town to town all across the globe, exploring the world's most haunted places, tapping into the dusty archives and the darkest corners to bring you the most terrifying stories of real people and their harrowing experiences. Hometown Ghost Stories dives into the history of haunted locations and investigates why and how these places earned their terrifying reputation. Rob, Dave, and Jesse go live every Tuesday night after an uninterrupted documentary-style breakdown on the case, followed by an open discussion with live viewers. Subscribe today to listen to Hometown Ghost Stories on your preferred podcast platform or watch the video version on YouTube and now Spotify. Head on over to the Bloody FM Podcast Network and check out Hometown Ghost Stories, if you're brave enough.